Praise Ye the Lord was the name of that. And worship services are to be times when we gather together to praise God and give thanksgiving to God for all of God's great gifts to us. It is a time when we are to be strengthened so that we can go out into the world and serve God with the good news of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to stand as you are able and share with me in the words of Psalm 111. Please rise as you are able. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Praise the Lord. And now we are going to praise with singing together. Number 302, I Danced in the Morning.
Thank you.
My friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, and Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us with such assurance. We need not fear confession, but simply draw near to our Maker in candor. Let us share in these words together. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life and sent his Spirit to be with us always. We confess that we have not trusted in the truth of that Spirit to enliven our hearts, to set us in ways of justice, and to free us from fear. We have turned away from the gift of Christ's presence. Forgive us and turn our hearts back to you, that we may be your faithful and loving people, walking in the footsteps of the one who came to transform the world. In body and in soul, in life and in death, our salvation lies in the faith and the hope that we are not on our own, but belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In Christ we are forgiven. Excuse me. We are freed from sin. We are given permission to begin again. Thanks be to God. With this in our hearts, we feel surrounded by the Holy Spirit and the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share that with one another. There's also a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful. We are grateful for your word. You had human beings write it many, many years ago, and yet it still speaks to us. In it we can find support for whatever challenges we face, as well as words of praise for you and all of your gifts. Help us to hear your word today so that we might go out and live it, live through it, and be better children in your name. Amen. We're continuing in Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians. And this week we are in chapter 5. And then later we'll be reading chapter 6. Not all of both, of either. But they are woven together in very interesting ways. So listen now for what the author has to say to us today on behalf of God. He writes, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are God's words. Thanks be to God. And now, special music.
Thank you.
Yes, there is children's church back there. Miss Chris had to go on with Miss Lala, so they're back there. Go on. It's perfectly good. You know, nowadays we tend to believe that wisdom is the domain of the more senior members of any group, including the church. Maybe it's because they've been around so long. Maybe it's because the youngsters simply want to run so fast. But we live in a culture that pushes us to act as though there is never enough time. In our desires to be connected and productive, many of us are forever rushing around, trying to squeeze in as much as we can into every possible moment. Society calls these people type A achievers. Other people tell themselves they've got all the time in the world, and not to worry, everything will get done. Society often calls these folks procrastinators. But rushing around usually leaves us feeling as if we're always out of time and out of breath, while procrastination just leaves us numb. In Ephesians 5, the letter's author is encouraging his readers to be careful in how they live, to neither rush nor procrastinate. He wants them to use their time wisely. They're to consider the situation they face and the options they have to address it, and then choose the ones that reflect God's desires for the people most completely, most wisely. Back then, Christians faced challenges we cannot even imagine. Yes, there were mean-spirited people who'd go out of their way to create havoc in their lives, but there was more. You see, in those days, society generally believed the whole world was filled with invisible evil spirits determined to harm people. To them, evil was invisible but real and literally around every corner. And to this, to this writer, it was vital to the Ephesians to be good and faithful stewards of their time so they could fulfill Christ's command to serve other people's needs and live justly and in harmony with them every day. These people needed to focus their time on serving God's purpose and preparing the world for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. But they're not to hurry about in their service to God. They're to carefully focus themselves on the truly important things and people in their lives. Now, we Presbyterians look to all things church-related, and I quote, without undue haste and without undue delay. That certainly speaks to the Ephesians idea. It is vital that Christ's people discern matters of faith in a deliberate manner. For in so doing, people are acting with wisdom. Being methodical in our processing allows the time needed for the Holy Spirit to enter our hearts and guide us to an understanding of God's will. And readers are told that through understanding God's will, that being all things are being brought together in Christ, then they will be filled with the strength of that Spirit. They will be able to better serve as witnesses to God's holy purpose. But two questions. How does the church open itself to God's Spirit? And how can God's people respond to being filled by the Spirit? The writer has a major insight that's helpful to answering that first question. He tells them to sing. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. And since the church is an interconnected community, this implies singing together. Now, we all sing to ourselves in the shower. Well, I think most of us do. But singing to someone else by ourselves is scary to most people. But this is no problem when you're singing with others. Case in point. Once a month, another presbytery joins together with their Lutheran, Episcopal, and Methodist friends to enjoy beer and hymns Mondays. But it was actually Sundays in the evening. They gather at a nearby brew pub and sing hymns with one another. The singing is absolutely loud, joyous, and spirit-filled. But fear not. We drank, but no one got drunk. Instead, we felt the Holy Spirit filling our hearts. We were fulfilling the words of this reading in Ephesians, and we became connected as one body in Christ. Everything came from our hearts. These were fun nights. And they were worshipful nights, too. Which is part of the writer's point. To gain spiritual strength, we need to praise and worship God at all times. In worship, we're strengthened to move out into the world to serve and witness God's wonders to all we meet. Singing and worshiping together prepares us to give back to God from all that God has given us. Singing together is one of God's greatest gifts. It's a way we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing together builds a people's strength in the face of danger or worry, and in the Ephesians case, in evil times. And it is something to be thankful for. Thanking God for all things, according to the author, is another important way for people to gain spiritual strength for the journey ahead beyond the doors of the sanctuary. Now, the New Revised Standard Version, which I read today, says the church was to give thanks for everything. But the New English Translation understands the original Greek word to suggest the writer actually meant every one. Giving thanks wasn't just for things. Giving thanks was for the relationships people have with one another. When we consider this text meant everything, we realize the kind of life we're to build isn't about our private projects and dreams. It's about our work on Christ's behalf and the people with whom we share that work. Thanking God for being part of Christ's body and for all of those who are also a part of our lives is very important to our spiritual health. And by our, I mean everyone's. So, like choosing to sing together, choosing to be thankful for our services to God and the people with whom we serve are ways the Spirit fills us. And both ways are ways we respond to being filled. The author discerned this under the Spirit's guidance. and he believes both are wise choices. Now, while singing and thankfulness strengthen us so we can face the evils of the world, and yes, there's still evil out there, we're also to serve God with our whole hearts, and the author knows there'll be times when we must put that strength to use, defending ourselves from whatever spiritual evil we face, which is what our second reading focuses on today. From chapter 6 of the letter to the Ephesians, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the common powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer, and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Put on the armor of God so you may be able to stand against the devices of the devil. That sounds like something heroes like Robert the Bruce and General George S. Patton would have called out to their troops before battle. And yes, these words are a call to arms of sorts. But this letter isn't to encourage people to take up arms against human enemies, nor is it about spiritual warfare as many people understand it. Human beings aren't to go out to fight to win the world for God. We aren't in charge of winning the battle over evil. God is. By ourselves, we aren't capable of overcoming the great evil in the world. Only God can, and God has won that war. God has won it through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has already overcome all evil in this world, even death. Now, we just read back in chapter 5, we're to be preparing for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. So why do we need to hear a battle cry? I have a wart on my finger. And like warts, the forces of evil are poor losers. After a wart has been burned off, it often tries to grow back. But it is a poor likeness of what it once was. Evil may have lost the war, but it isn't completely ready to put its tail between its legs and leave without trying to foul the world further. These words are about being prepared to defend what's already been won. This call is for the saints here on earth and in the church triumphant to stand firm and withstand the guerrilla attacks of evil which wants to come back. So the author reminds his readers that the resources needed to persevere and resist that evil aren't of human making, but are given to Christ's community by God, Jesus himself, and the Holy Spirit. The equipment of the faithful, or the equipment the faithful need, isn't a freighter full of destructive weapons. We need defensive tools that increase our strength for ministry. We need the belt of truth to speak the truth in love so that we can grow as the body of Christ. We need sandals for more secure footing so we can preach the gospel of peace. We need the breastplate of righteousness to remind wearers that their new selves were created according to the likeness of God in true holiness. And we need the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation so that any fiery arrows let loose by the opponent cannot pierce our heads or sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, serves as both a tool to actively ward off predators and as a defensive wall against the evil that lingers in the air. God has wisely designed this armor to protect Christ's followers, to protect us. See, from the first people who read this letter until now, congregations have been strengthened through things like community singing and by praising God and giving thanks for all of God's gifts. Those gifts include sharing the truth in love, preaching the gospel of peace, and reading scripture so we can remember who and whose we are. These things all help us stand firm in our faith whenever we face the evil that's still smoldering in the world. Did you notice that one thing comes up in both chapter 15 and chapter 16? Prayer. Persistence in prayer. It may be that we are to pray in thanksgiving or for God's care, and certainly we are. And we can sing or speak our prayers. No matter what or how we pray, Christ's followers are connecting to our Creator, who was and is and shall be evermore. And being connected to God is very wise indeed. For when we're connected, our wise and caring God can better fill and strengthen our hearts for whatever service we are called to give. Wisdom, prayer, invite you that now that you are together again, to please rise and sing a song of thanksgiving with me, the one we call the doxology. I think Kathy's going to play it for us.
Do you need that?
I think you know it by heart. Please rise as you are able. Today we can sit for the affirmation of faith. You know, we often say the Apostles' Creed, which is a wonderful creed. Creed actually means I believe. It comes from the word credo, I believe. And throughout the ages, since the Apostles' Creed was written, and probably before them, people have written statements of faith, statements of what they believe. During the Reformation, the men of the, they lived in England and they were called the Westminster Divines, and they gathered because they were considering divine issues. And they came up with the Westminster Catechism and the Westminster Confession, both of which are statements of faith, statements of what we believe. So today, we're going to answer one of the questions they posed to define their faith. What is God? God is a spirit in and of God's self, infinite in beauty, glory, blessedness, and perfection, all-sufficient, eternal, unchangeable, incomprehensible, everywhere present, almighty. Most just, most merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, this we believe. Amen. O Master, let me walk with thee is our second hymn of the day. It's on page 356. us focus our hearts specifically in this time of prayer on our connection to each other and to God. O great and graceful, holy God, you who are one in three, three in one, we are grateful for your care for us and our families. We are grateful that you made us in your image and have called us by name. Now we lift up to you our concerns of the day. We wonder, holy God, how can suffering come to an end? How can grief ebb? How can hunger be satisfied? Weapons laid down, anxiety calmed, division overcome. Your promises to provide and the path of hope you lay out, holy God, seem impossible under the weight of our woes. Yet still we pause to pray. We turn to you, we speak to you to shorten the distance between us and you in the hope and the faith that you listen when your people pray. We trust that you love us and that you act on our behalf. We are grateful for your ear, holy God, and we lift our prayers of concern to you. May those in need of healing experience the balm of your nurturing care. We pray for the Sayers, the Hickses, Dave and Elva, Betty, Dawn, Charlene, Pat, Mary, Kathy, Bob, Denise, Diane, Peggy and Lori, Sally, Sandy, and Robin, and also all whom we hold silently and dearly in our hearts this day. May those in need of courage find inspiration in the heroes and heroines of your written word. We lift up to you the families of Jeffrey Taylor and Merle Taylor, who have both passed on into the church triumphant. Give these people comfort and courage as they weather their losses. May those in need of reconciliation find empowerment in your path of peace. We lift up the people of Sudan who are fighting the pangs of hunger as they continue to weather a drought, a near famine, and a civil war. May those in need of guidance be blessed with your insight and wisdom, O Lord. Eternal One, you bless all life. We ask that you bless and renew us all. Time moves so fast, life always ahead of us, urging us faster and faster. May this moment of prayer and pause help us hear the wind moving through the trees, feel the warmth of the sun, see the stars flaring, smell the fragrance of new-mown hay in the fields near our homes. May this moment of communion help us remember the support and sustenance we have here with each other and with you. United as a family of faith and as the body of Christ, O Lord, we lift these prayers up to you, for you are our God and Creator, our Redeemer and Sustainer. O Lord, we ask now that you hear us praying the words Christ taught his followers so long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 372, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
To be church together, to love one another, to sing together. And I appreciate that you came together so that you could truly hear one another singing and to pray together, to worship together. We are always to take time to pray. We run around so much. Taking time to pray is what God wants. So this week, I invite you to take more time than usual to pray. Set aside all the busyness. Connect with God so that you can be strengthened for the journey ahead. The journey of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with all you meet. So go now. Go knowing that you do not go alone. You go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit.